Missed some of the many amazing interviews and features on the Midweek Drive? Relax and check out the podcast highlights on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
And the great news, of course, is that after one or two slight challenges earlier in the day, most of our site is actually working once again. And I think there were various server issues there, which is very frustrating, really, when you release things, you do live radio, live broadcasts, and you actually sort of download the things, podcast, various other bits and pieces, and then you click on podcast, error opening file. You think, no. So anyway, I sent off various emails to our men in Osaka, Japan, and various other folk, and hopefully it's been sorted. And they've done a good job, which is wonderful. Claire Parker, you've actually got a little shout-out for your family, who have been eagerly sort of tuned in on the online, on the computer, to sirenonline.co.uk, hopefully for the majority of the show.
I have indeed, yes. Hi, Steve. Hi, Christina and Kira. Hope you're listening.
Wonderful, because they're going to have the opportunity now to hear the mummy talk to a really, really important man from Los Angeles, a gentleman who also knows his podcasts from his codcasts. He's actually sorted. He's got his finger on the pulse. He's been crisscrossing across the United States of America now like some kind of mad roadrunner crossed with a kind of, Tasmanian devil, together with Dean Hagland, as they've brought the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour to the world from the Dragon Con convention, from Vermont, from Washington, now of course back in Los Angeles. We say, Phil Leonis, are you indeed there?
Phil Leonis, coming to a street near you.
There you go.
Alex, I'm very disappointed though, because you promised that I would get to give a shout out to Steve and Christina.
There you go. I know, it's the negotiations. It was Claire just had one of those little looks in her eyes. She said, "Oh, please." She's a solicitor. What can I say? Legal profession. Don't mess with the legal people.
Don't argue with me. No.
I'm sitting here in my pajamas. I'll let you all picture that.
And, too much information, Phil.
And I'm reading. My wake up call this morning was Alex. Mm. Alex woke me this morning. That was lovely.
Courtesy call.
much as I dream it every day. Huh? And the thing is, I've been reading here. I didn't get dressed because I got so fascinated reading about the British food fortnight that's going on. Mm. And of course, the obvious joke being that the British food fortnight would probably take a day, but. The big praise coming your way in that area, Alex. In Lincoln.
Exactly. Lincolnshire is the breadbasket of the country. It is the place. I mean, not only do we have the Lincolnshire show once a year, which celebrates this, we've got the tastes of Lincolnshire, we've got all manner of things. Do you know, I've actually forgotten a little present I'm going to actually help with your assistance, Phil. I'm going to actually present this to Claire Parker, because I was a little bit worried about the podcast. So not only did I download an entire episode of the Chill Pack Hollywood Hour for Claire, specifically the one with 9/11, where we start talking about the bankers, and indeed that lovely theory that indeed the 3,000 people who tragically lost their lives in 9/11 all came about as a direct result of the fall of communism. But we've also got Claire Parker's podcast as well. So there we are, Claire. You don't even have to sort of log on to access your latest sort of telephonic link, which you did with us recently. And, of course, a full 60 minutes. That's 3,600 seconds of Chill Pack Hollywood Hour goodness.
Well, thank you very much,
and
Alex.
What could be more appropriate after a discussion about the taste of Lincolnshire than a full, nourishing serving of your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour?
Precisely so. So you have been sort of tootling around in all sorts of ways recently, Phil, and I must admit, I decided that yesterday... We had a long drive down from the north of the country, 126 miles, back down to Lincoln again. I would listen not just to one, but to two Chill Pack Hollywood Hours. I caught them both back to back, which was wonderful. The one that you actually did on the road, so to speak, and of course the one when you were actually back in the wonderful land of Los Angeles. Do you feel as though you've kind of got back and you've acclimatized now and you're sorted and you're focused?
A little bit. I don't know. I haven't listened to Monday's show, so you'll have to tell me. But this is how it felt, when we were on the road, very relaxing, very lovely. We were meeting people, and you could really tell just kind of how relaxed we were. And then on Monday, it felt like we were speed reading the whole show, desperately trying to catch up with what everyone wanted us to talk about, and just trying to reacclimate to sort of the strange treadmill that is Los Angeles. You know,
just some of the topics. Just some of the topics they covered. What did they think of the Emmy Awards? What was DragonCon about? What was their views on the marketing campaign for Rise of Planet of the Apes? And a heap of other sort of side of things. That's just amazing, really. But you did it. That's the important thing. It's wrapped up. It's tucked away. It's sorted. Mandy, any questions you'd like to put to Phil at this stage?
Well, you've mentioned already that you've been fascinated by reading about what's happening in the UK with regard to Food Week, which I have to say was news to me. But just tell me, Phil, what is it? What's exercising people from Los Angeles today? What are they currently waking up and thinking about and getting excited about?
In Los Angeles, wow. Well, I mean, I love that you ask the guy who is, you know, it's pushing 11 a.m. here and he's still in his pajamas, and you're asking me what people are getting up excited about. We're getting up excited about starting our day bright and early at noon, and getting more done by 1 o'clock than most people get done by, you know, I don't know, 1:15. We just had the Emmy Awards, and nothing excites us more in Los Angeles than the possibility of getting to blow smoke up our own rear ends. And so that was that's always fun. We love being able to self-congratulate ourselves for our ability.
I was just going to say that is a technically acceptable term in many ways. Which, I'm not sure whether you'd use it in a court of law. But
perhaps not.
No. I mean, Your Honour, have you considered blowing smoke up your rear ends within these clients? It's not going to work.
I suspect contempt of court might be mentioned at that stage.
Contempt
but anyway.
Of court, exactly. It's very true.
But, you know, what excites us in this moment is to find out that Claire was inspired to become a solicitor by watching L.A. Law. Because, again, it all comes back to Los Angeles and it all comes back to the business of show.
I used to love that as a teenager. That was fantastic. It was one of those programs you just had to watch every week. And this was back in the days of videos, if one can remember videos. And this video used to make its way around the office when I first started work. And this one video would go around everybody in the office so that we all got a chance to watch it. It was great. Nothing at all like real life, of course, in the world of the law. But
I don't know. I mean, surely you know, Susan Day, ex-Partridge Family, could have actually put in an appearance in Horncastle. That was, you know.
Oh, we'd have been delighted to see her, I'm sure, yes. But yes, all the times they jump up and down in the courtrooms and object to Your Honour, etc. Yeah, it would be fun, wouldn't it? But no, it was great to watch.
And just the ability of Harry Hamlin.
Oh, fantastic.
To be able to keep his lips inflated to 22 pounds per square inch each and every week. You know, I mean,
that's... Yes.
It could well have been that he actually started off as being a toy boy for Ursula Andress, of course, when they worked, I believe, on The Clash of the Titans. Allegedly, you know, as the sort of connection. I think it was Ursula who kind of introduced Harry Hamlin to the acting profession. But I mean, that just might be pure speculation, it might sort of be, or hallucination that sort of worked our way through that.
It also could be your determination to make an Ursula Andress reference each and every show.
Ah, well, you know, it's important. You know, that and Doctor Who and various other things. It's always crucial from that line of things.
I salute you. I salute you for that. Absolutely.
We were talking earlier in the show, Phil, with one of our Connecticut correspondents who's based in Frankfurt in Germany, and she was saying that actually globally we're in for some challenging times. I was referring to correspondents on the show RT.com, which is RussiaToday.com, which I'm sure has got a big following in Los Angeles, but maybe not. I don't know, just RT.com. But they have been referring to the fact that in the West, Obama and the politicians are very much at the behest of the bankers, that in fact Fort Knox has no gold whatsoever, that effectively that's all gone in terms of, you know, availability for funding and so on. And it's literally the leveraging of various properties that's led the bankers to effectively run the world. Are you worried by this, Phil, or is it just a case of, no, it's just a conspiracy theory, I'll just go back into bed?
Does it have to be either or? international banking has always struck me as absolutely a constructed game, and it's not a game that holds particular interest for me. It doesn't seem to be, you know, engaging in it one way or another, either fighting it or buying into it, does not seem to be a very interesting way for me to live my life. I mean, I think it would be foolish, though, very naive, to look at it and draw any conclusion other than the fact that, you know, politicians are beholden. Banking interests, absolutely. And a big part of our film, The Truth Is Out There, really lays out kind of the historic context of how this global banking cartel came to be and what perhaps their aims might be. And I say perhaps because that's where you bring in, you know, these conspiracy ideas. You know, it's troubling to me when, you know, you will see so many things, first of all, go wrong. You'll see so many criminal things take place in connection to...
Has he been cut off? Have we lost him? Has he gone completely?
Hello?
He's back.
Hello?
Alex? We're here. We can hear you. Can you hear us?
Okay, I can. See, we shouldn't say anything more about the global...
Obviously. Back to those conspiracy theories.
Other than they are the kindest, most loving, most gentle people I have ever known.
Exactly.
No, but I would say that Alex, that, you know, whenever anybody asks me, are you worried about this, are you worried about this, are you worried about this, because worry seems to be our major occupation so often in this life, I constantly say, no, I don't get worried about these things, nor do I let myself get excited about them, because, quite frankly, I have enough on my plate. My responsibility is to try to keep a clear head no matter what's going on around me. My responsibility is to try to be as authentic and responsible and loving and kind and generous a human being as I can, as good a neighbor, as good a friend, as good a storyteller as I can. Those are my responsibilities.
And indeed as good a Los Angeles correspondent, really.
And that gives me enough to worry about. And I think when we worry, when we give ourselves emotionally over to these no doubt frightening possibilities out in the world, you know, I'll put it this way. My producer, who is very much a conspiracy theorist, the producer of The Truth Is Out There, he actually, in talking about himself and about the risk of getting so wrapped up in these things, giving yourself over emotionally to these things, is the irony that even if you're right, that there are these dark conspiracies, you know, by these powerful, powerful business interests, by giving yourself over to worry and fear, you are also affecting yourself physically to such a degree that you are in no position to do anything about it. So I always caution against worry or fear in those regards. Keep a clear head and know that opportunities for people who can keep a clear head will always present themselves.
So, Mandy, does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, and I think that is a really great thought for the day. And with that sounding too cheesy, I found that quite
emotionally overwhelming.
I did. Quite inspiring, actually.
Inspiring
made
well.
For you know, when I get down, I think of that.
This is very true. This is why Phil Nearness has the contract. You see.
So thank you, Phil.
That's very true.
Oh well, I appreciate that, and now I feel that I can actually shower and get dressed.
Well, you know, it's working through that. Now, we'll hold fire on the themes and various other bits and pieces, but we will take a momentary break because I want to come back and actually talk about the goodies that you can actually get for the 4th anniversary Chill Pack Hollywood scenario, which is, I might even consider actually sort of taking this up myself on this particular basis. Wonderful stuff. Plus, of course, how the Glee Factor got tied in with a letter to Chill Pack Hollywood Hour and kind of demonstrated the fact that sometimes some of the writers who actually put these things to paper, they don't really appreciate the kind of the importance of actually getting the name of the director or the characters right. I shall say no more, but I'll leave you with this particular thing. At the present time, Phil, a voice you may just recognise.
Sci-Fi London simply wouldn't exist without Louis Savvy, nor for that matter would the Louis Savvy phone link on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Relax and let your mind expand.
Actually, you wouldn't recognise that voice, Malcolm Tomlinson. But Louis Savvy will be back with us again a week on Thursday, where it'll basically be 1 a.m. in Los Angeles time. Now, Phil, would you like to have some Brandon Flowers as a musical treat? Or I mean, we've thrown a few things at you, but I mean, is there a particular artist that you'd like us to sort of dig out for you in this kind of like mini musical break we actually have? What would you like?
I always go Paul Weller as my
really?
Default.
Oh, yeah. So that's a default system. Well, all we can do is ask Mr. Computer if he's actually got the net. Oh, I just put in Paul Wee there, which wouldn't have actually got me very far at all in this sort of system. Sometimes you think, where's predictive text when you actually need it? It's not Paul Wee at all. Could be Wee Paul. Now, are we looking for The Changing Man? Have you made up your mind? You Do Something to Me, Fly on the Wall, Broken Stones, Hung Up, No Tears Left to Cry. Any of those particularly float your boat?
All of them. Mm. My boat is floating just from hearing those song titles. Have You Made Up Your Mind is pretty darn sexy stuff.
Okie dokie. Well, here it comes. You've got 3 minutes, 18 seconds to get set and ready for the day, basically. Phil, we'll be back with you then.
Morning edition with Alex Levchuk and Jody Orton. Possibly the best way to launch Thursdays yet invented by humanity.
Mm. Of course, you might actually sort of listen to that if you are up at sort of midnight in Los Angeles time for the routine. Because I know, Phil, you might have said, but yes, it's all very well talking about that, but we've got the wonderful Mandy in the studio. We've clearly had the fantastic Claire Parker, etc. But what's happened to Jody Orton? I could hear you sort of thinking, oh, what's happened to Jody Orton?
Jody Orton is here.
Jody Orton is here and all
in the
set
building
with another bright,
with Jack Harrison.
Sparkling jingle which goes something like...
Jody Orton and Jack Harrison, bringing the Lincoln American Studies Interest Society to the world.
Because that's what they're pretty much going to be doing in about sort of 9 seconds from now. Oh, no, 9 seconds, 9 minutes or so from now. Oh, what excitement. So what's on the show tonight, Jody?
Well, on the show tonight we've got some quality American songs of our own picking, so I think hopefully everybody will like them. We've got an interview with Dr. Cairo Hickman, who's the programme leader for American Studies. Mm-hmm. We've got a little bit of a quiz, which we're calling our Random American Quiz of the Week, which we'll be doing every week and, you know, competing against each other, because I think it's important to have a little bit of a boys versus girls, don't you think, Jack?
Definitely. Is this making you feel excited, Phil Leonis, in Los Angeles?
What makes me excited is I think I just became Facebook friends with Jody.
There you are, you see. That's, yeah, you see. He may have just become Facebook friends with Jody. So be careful, because as Claire Parker has just said, that's often used in divorce cases, isn't it, Claire? You know, Facebook.
Divorce lawyers don't like Facebook, I'm afraid. We see the worst of it, but I'm sure it has many fantastic sides to it.
So precisely. It's all there. Okay, they'll be coming up with that. Let's go back to that Glee moment, because this was a classic that came out of the last week's edition of Chill Pack Hollywood, a guy who was basically quite stringent in his criticism of you, Phil, but he actually got the name wrong, didn't he?
Yes. I had been criticizing the Glee project for specifically behavior on the part of the creator of the show, as I saw it trying to bully and coerce one of the contestants into staying when it was clear that the contestant didn't want to. And I received much praise for this, but of course, I hate to deal strictly in the positive. I much more enjoy when people send me very, very angry emails. And I got an email in all caps saying, "You owe Brian Murphy a big-ass apology." And it was an astonishing email, astonishing in that anyone would feel the courage to write such judgmental, hurtful things as this person did, about the young man on the show, about the person whose side I was taking on the show. And yet I love it, because I love when people aren't, you know, they don't restrict their speech or their writing on the basis of what's politically correct, and do let their own deep emotional material out, because no matter what it is, whether it be a case about this or whether it be racism or be whatever it is, because we can only deal with it collectively once people actually voice it. It's hard to deal with it when people are denying that they feel these things. So I loved that opportunity, but yes, the payoff for me was that every criticism that was leveled against me was that I was basically cherry-picking one episode that I'd never bothered to watch more than just that one episode. So who was I to criticize Glee creator Brian Murphy for his behavior on the Glee project when I'd only seen this one episode? And perhaps I would know better if I had seen or listened to more. And I loved being able to sign off my side of things by pointing out that the creator of Glee is actually Ryan Murphy, not Brian Murphy. And perhaps this listener would have known that if he had watched or listened to more than a few minutes of one particular episode. So it was fun. And, of course, it underscores the fact that all of us in show business, we don't really care, be it the Ryan Murphys or the Phil Aronises, we don't really care so much what you write about us, so long as you spell our names right.
Precisely. We'll find out about other things from ChillPackHollywood.com in a few moments' time. Actually, it'll be next week, because, Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
I have had a great time, Alex, and I hope you will order the 4th anniversary bonus show. Mm. It's the only episode of Chilpack Hollywood Hour that will ever cost money. The show will always be free every week, and the more people who buy our little bonus 4th anniversary show, which includes never-before-heard footage, it will help us to keep that show free for eternity.
Splendid. Claire Parker, you've managed to battle through colds and all sorts of things to be here. Have you enjoyed the show?
It's been great. Thanks, Alex. Yes.
Coming back again in the near future?
Absolutely, yes.
Splendid.
Hopefully without the cold next time.
Exactly. Mandy?
Interesting as always. So thanks, Alex.
Interesting in the kind of Chinese curse song. Inspiring.
Inspiring.
Yeah. You've had voiceover artists, Philip Hurdwood, Sarah Chase from Frankfurt, Michelle Monroe, Cameron Tilbury from Nashville, Phil Leonis from Los Angeles. Tomorrow morning we'll be back in Los Angeles with Fiona Harding. It's not confirmed yet. We do have Richard Fitzwilliams. We have Peter Kerr. We have Shane and Sheila Rimmer. We have the lead singer of The Alarm. We also have author celebrating 50 years of Private Eye magazine as well, talking about British satire and a variety of other bits and pieces as well. Our outro today is Jason Kaufman's quote, "The best way to predict the future is to create it." Phil Leonis, will you be back with us in 7 days' time? That's not bi-weekly, that's not bi-monthly, that's next week, in 7 days from now.
I will create that future, Alex.
There you go. That's to Claire Parker, to Mandy Jones, many thanks. Don't forget, Jack and Jody will be up with the American Dream Team after the news at 7, pressing buttons in a magical, manical way. Last week, quite an extraordinary experience, but they got through it. That's the important thing. Can we all say bye-bye?
Good night.
Bye,
goodbye.
Bye.
Farewell.
Put on those shades and wave to yesterday. The sunlight smiles.